This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to Generation Next, a show for charismatic, charming, attractive, funny young people like myself on Joy 94.9.
Hello everyone, this is Generation Next on Joy 94.9. You're here with Maddie and Eleanor, and we are about to cut to some people for Rad Sex and Consent Week. With the combined efforts of Monash University's Women's and Queer Departments, Melbourne University Women's, Queer, Disabilities and Indigenous Departments, and La Trobe University's Women's and Queer Departments, it's going to have events across a broad university network with workshops in all locations open to the students from all universities. Joining the Gen Next panel is Eddie Shepherd, Monash University's Women's Officer. Hello.
Hi.
And we have another guest in, and I do not have your name written down.
My name's Sam. I'm from Melbourne Uni.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about Rad Sex and Consent Week?
Do you want to go or should I?
I can go.
Go for it.
So Rad Sex and Consent Week is a thing that started up at Melbourne University originally. And now this year we're making it into a cross-campus event collaborating with Monash and La Trobe Universities. And it's an event that kind of arose from the fact that sex education doesn't really exist in people who go through the Australian education system.
I know, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in high school right now and I know firsthand
how bad.
It's really shocking.
It gets better.
Yeah. So my sex education personally was like, you can't get pregnant when you stand up and do it. Like, that was as much as I got. And so this whole week is kind of filling in those gaps and giving people like, almost like, you know, making up for it like doubly because,
absolutely,
you know, there's so many directions that you can go.
So I've heard that there will be workshops. So what kind of education or discourse can students get out of the workshops?
Well, we're trying to cover as many bases as we can. So I know over at Monash, which is where I'm organising, we're starting off with really, really basic sex ed, like absolute fundamentals, because it's amazing how many people don't have it. And that's condoms, that's dental dams, that's basic sexual health. And from then we're going to stem out. So one of our major focuses is going to be on consent, negotiating that, because that was a new word to me when I started uni, like, how to negotiate sexual consent. But then on the other hand, we'll have workshops on things that you never learn about, but you probably should, like how to fist someone safely, anal play safely, BDSM, that sort of thing.
Yep.
And all throughout that, negotiating that consent and making sure that that's really firmly entrenched.
So why is this event important, not just for Monash students, but for the wider student community?
Well, as we mentioned, sex ed just doesn't exist, particularly if you're queer or if you're if you're queer, if you're in any way not like binary gender identification, if you're trans, any of that sort of thing is absolutely just not covered whatsoever.
I remember I actually had to go to my school's welfare department and ask for specific LGBT related information, because there was just none whatsoever.
It just doesn't exist.
When I was in high school, we technically had sex ed, but it was in science, and it was the, you know, these are the hormones, these are the body parts. Yeah, our science teachers teach us.
It's still in here. I'm just jumping in for a sec. But like when I went through sex ed, I remember the teacher just was like, they put on this like cartoon. And then once the cartoon was over, it was just like, and that's sex. And but what happened? It was like, there were some cartoons with smiley faces and two people gave each other a hug. What's the rest of it? Like, what's the physiology? Dylan out.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for that, Dylan.
Another thing we really want to focus on in this week is that it's all good and well to have sex and you do it safely and informed and with consent, but it's also a completely valid option to not have sex.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's something that we also want to, you know, send that message quite solidly.
Touch on that asexual community, because they can be really marginalised a lot of the time.
It's Dylan's back again. I'm just
you said
still
you weren't going to be.
I know, but I can't. You can't.
We're going to have to send him
up
to a nursing home soon.
I can still hear you. Have there been any, I guess, opposition to the Rad Sex and Consent Week.
Oh, yes.
There are a lot of prudes out there.
What specifically have people had a problem with? Is it the topic itself of sex or the fact that you are wanting to start a dialogue about... Because everyone has sex. Like, everyone does. Like, if you don't, then you do. You're lying. Sorry.
Well, there are asexual people out there.
Well, there are. There are. I will admit that. But for, at least in my affirmative, like, my time as a young person, like, sex is a big thing that happens. Like, what were the main, I guess, issues that arose when this was first being put together?
I think that there's a lot of conservatism around the issue of sex, and it's still, like, a huge taboo in society. As much as, like, society's so sexualized at the same time, it's, like, that thing that we're all talking about at the same time as, like, actually not talking about it. So I think having such an open dialogue can be very confronting for some people. And so, like, any issues that we've had have kind of, in my opinion, kind of stemmed from that, where if you're talking about, like, particularly alternative modes of sex that aren't just, like, PIV,
missionary position for the purposes of reproduction.
Yep. In the dark, covers on.
Yep.
Mm. Close the blinds, lock the door.
Yeah, there's also in previous years, there's been quite a bit of furor that's kicked up. There was an instance a couple of years ago at Melbourne Uni that went a bit pear-shaped because, ironically, people were not respecting consent in a week, majorly focusing on consent, began...
That's a bit...
recording workshops and then leaked it to the Herald Sun.
Ew.
So you can only imagine what happened from there. Have a Google. It's bad.
Yeah, I think that'd just make me too angry.
Yeah.
Anyway, women's officers, definitely an important role working in universities to submit policy, making the queer student community visible, all of that, ensuring well-being. What made you want to step up to that role?
It's actually a bit of a depressing story, to be perfectly honest. In my first year, I had a really, really awful, awful experience. At the Caulfield campus, they run a thing called the Fetish Party. Yep.
It sounds like it has potential to go bad.
What they don't tell you is that if you're a girl, you have to show up in lingerie.
Screw that.
And you're basically under contract for people to flip your bra straps, try and unhook your bra and all of that sort of thing. And that was the first thing that sort of started my political awakening, as it were, and after that I sort of became aware of all of this really awful stuff happening throughout the campus.
I mean, like, there's a time and a place, right? And that might not be time or place, to say the least.
I'm just remembering, when I lived on campus, I went to Deakin, there was an event every year called Drag and Diva, which was, okay, guys dress in drag, girls dress in, quote, slutty, unquote, outfits.
Yep.
I just said screw that and showed up in drag.
Yeah.
Like, I showed up, you know, I used waterproof mascara for the fake facial hair, which I regret, but, you know, I just thought this is ridiculous. That this is the whole concept is ha-ha, drag is funny, and ha-ha, girls dress in skimpy clothes.
Yeah, so it was just, beginning from that, I kind of had my awakening, and I went and found the women's department because I needed to have a sook. A rightful sook, might I add. But
sometimes you need to.
Yeah. And it just sort of went from there. I found my community and... you know, ended up stepping up to the plate halfway through last year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What do you think for queer students, what do you think is the biggest impediment they face at universities?
Oh, I don't know whether I can narrow it down to the biggest one. Sam, do you know what the biggest one might be? There's lots of daily microaggression. That's a thing.
That's often the case.
It's just...
A lot of, like, silencing and, like... Mm. Yeah, and I guess that comes back to that whole sex education issue that, like, yeah, my high school, it wasn't ever, like, addressed that any student would even be queer, let alone,
absolutely.
Like, addressing, like, the specific needs in a sex context.
Yeah, there were at least 3 queer students in my year, and yet that was just never, ever... All we learnt about was the absolute fundamentals, this is what happens during this stage of menstruation. These are the stages of pregnancy. Mm. Never did anything about relating to consent, relating to pleasure in any way, or relating to... We did the basics of contraception, but only this particular form of contraception does this, not about any making choices about it. They seem to just really want us to not learn about that with the idea that, oh, if they don't learn about sex, they won't do it.
Mm. The rates of like sexual assault and things like that are so high that you know, why aren't these conversations being had? Why aren't people getting, like, the real facts? And, like, why do we have to wait till we come to, like, a university before we hear what the word consent means?
Yeah, I even remember less related to consent and more safety and protection. In year nine, we did the whole put the condom on the banana thing, but we were told, we know exactly how many condoms are here. There is one for you each to do this. You cannot take any more. It's like, my school's had a decent budget. You know, you'd think they would let condoms the year nines take home a couple of condoms.
They're not exactly super expensive. They're not made of gold, right? Anyway, so say there's someone listening who wants to find out a bit more. Where can they find some good info?
Well, we have a website. It's radsexconsent.wordpress.com because it's run a couple of years and websites were hard to come by, so radsex.com, radsexconsent.wordpress.com, or if you just search it into Facebook, it'll come up, and we've got a central page with the different campuses' events.
Yep.
Another thing that I'd like to point out is we're not actually having this exclusive to students, so anyone can come to the workshops, anyone in the wider population. You don't need to be a university student to come.
Well, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
No worries.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.